Welcome to No Sugar,
Just Spice.
I'm Sheer.
And I'm Sen.
1, 2, 3, hi. Okay, I think that was good.
As we navigate the early stages of our careers, we wanted to bring you a weekly dose of our unapologetic dialogue.
I was like, ha 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 ha.
Oh yeah.
No.
Join us every week as we dive into topics on all of our minds and cover all the latest trends, obsessions, and struggles we encounter on the daily.
We're getting personal and professional, and we're here to talk about it all. No sugarcoating, no BS, just a little bit of Middle Eastern spice.
Get ready for an authentic exploration of all the highs and lows, because life's too short for sugar-coated stories. This is No Sugar, Just Spice, where honesty meets the mic.
Hello there.
Hello.
Welcome back to No Sugar, Just Spice.
Hi, guys. We missed you.
We did. Sen, I have to tell you something. I finally found Poppy.
Oh, I love it.
I found it. I was like on like Instacart and I was like, I have to find this Poppy Sen I keeps talking about.
So and I got the best flavor.
Oh, it is? Raspberry Rose?
That's my favorite, yeah.
Woohoo! I'm so excited. I literally just picked three random flavors and this was one that looked pretty, so I got it.
Which other one did you get?
The Coca-Cola dupe one.
Oh, so that one I don't love so much. But the Dr. Pep, the Doc Pop is pretty good.
Oh, they didn't have that one. What I'm else? Excited.
But Raspberry Rosé is my favorite. I also like the grape All one. Right. It's pretty yummy.
Guys, let's do some ASMR. Ready?
Yum. I just had a blueberry smoothie before this. Which was probably dumb.
Because is that it?
It gets stuck in your teeth.
No, your teeth look great. Was this an ad for Poppy with that ASMR opening?
I don't know. I'm open to it. If this gets to Poppy at some
Yum.
Shape or form.
This is really good.
Every time I hear the word Poppy, I think of my niece because we call my grandpa Poppy. She says it like this. She says, Poppy.
So Poppy, every time, like she's British.
Yeah, like, I don't know. She says it's so funny. So now every time I see Poppies, I read it in that voice.
This is really good. I'm very impressed.
Delish, right?
Delicious.
Yeah. I'm coming to Miami soon. So we will do our little mocktail tasting.
Woohoo! And film in person, guys. Been a while.
So excited.
Okay. So on this week's episode, Thriving in Your 20s, we are going to talk about being not only first generation Americans, first generation college students, but also being the oldest child in your household. And I think it like comes into play a little bit, like how they tie together. Sanaa and I are both of those. So we're very excited to talk about the challenges, but also the opportunities and give you guys some tips about what helped us going through life.
Yeah, it doesn't even need to be like the same situation. I feel like if you can relate to things that we went through in some shape, way, or form, whether you're the middle child, the youngest child, whether you're second generation, there's just, it's not easy coming from parents that are immigrants. And I know like we always have friends who, you know, their parents went to college, their grandparents went to college, and it's in their blood and DNA, and they know exactly what to do.
And they're also like huge, like alumni, and so proud of their university and go to the games.
Yeah. I remember feeling so much FOMO and like kind of like embarrassed about it back in the day, like compared to my friends that all had parents that, you know, knew so much about college and were big alumni and had all the merch and watched all the games. I was like, what is this world?
I know,
how
really
am I
going to
enter it? Oh, that just triggered some trauma. I'm just kidding, not trauma.
No, but it's true because when you're younger, also you compare yourself a lot to your friends because you spend all day with them in school. And so you then like compare to their parents and their families and just like, I mean, when you're different, you think about it when you're younger and it's something that, you know.
Yeah. I mean, not having things in common with people when you're younger is like causes the biggest insecurities possible.
Yeah.
And they definitely had lots of those. And I was a very shy kid, which is so ironic that we're here.
That is so funny. I mean, I didn't know you when you were a kid.
I was very shy.
Like what? Like you were in class and you just didn't talk to anybody?
Well, I also was moving around schools a lot. So I would like from when I was in the pre-K until I was in middle school, I went to like 5 different schools. Like I wouldn't last more than 2 years in school.
5 elementary schools?
I think 4. Yeah, 4. Something
Whoa.
Like that.
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah. So I was always the new kid. And
well,
I mean,
that explains
I didn't really...
why you were shy. I mean, that's hard to be the new kid year after year.
At that time, it's not even that I really knew that I like didn't really have friends. I was just, I don't know. I was like that shy and loserish.
That I'm sure
I was fine with it.
I mean, you had friends in your neighborhood, just didn't wasn't from
yeah, that's
school.
True. Yeah, I didn't have school friends. At school, I was a mute. I remember my mom had to come in to class and
what?
Because I was getting bullied and stuff at some points.
Oh
but like
God.
I didn't even realize it, but my mom would catch on.
Wait, is that why you moved schools? Because you were getting bullied?
No, I moved schools because of moving locations and I was in public schools and also finessing. Yeah, it's based off your zip code. And my parents like wanted me to go to like the better elementary school, even though we lived in a different area until like that didn't work anymore. Yeah, very chaotic, but all part of the first generation thing.
Oh yeah, 100%.
My sisters didn't have to go through the same things. They're 4 or 5 years younger than me. So my parents figured it out by the time they were
We're the guinea pigs. Being the oldest child means that you're the guinea pig.
Yeah.
Makes sense, you know?
Yeah. It's not all bad though.
No, it's not. I mean, that's interesting. I mean, I was definitely not shy.
See, so it manifests differently.
It really does. I mean, in middle school, okay, for whoever's listening to this and went to Ben Gamla, if you remember the knee-high socks trend.
Cheer started it.
That was me. I literally wore a pair of knee-high socks with our uniform because it was the only thing that made me different every single day. And I would go on like weekly Target trips with my mom to buy different knee-high socks because I wanted to have a different new style every week.
Trendsetter over here.
So I was not the shy kid, that's for sure.
From a young age. I was rocking an Old Navy and Children's Place while everybody was in Abercrombie and Fitch.
Abercrombie like scared me as a child. Like I would literally walk in there and I couldn't see anything. I already have bad eyesight. So like on top of that, like I have to walk into Abercrombie and not be able to see. The smell just like made me cough.
I loved it.
I didn't feel like I was cool enough to walk into that store. Like I wasn't like, I was a very outgoing person, but I don't think I was like cool. I was just very outgoing and extroverted. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. For me, it was the ultimate dream. I wish I could own the store and wear everything in it.
I liked Hollister a lot more for some reason. I don't know why.
No, Abercrombie was all the rage for us. But anyways, got a little sidetracked there.
Yeah, sorry about that. So, okay. Going back to the first generation. So that there's a bunch of different, I think, positive things that come out of it and then also challenges that come out of it. I mean, on the challenges front, it's, you know, it's the basic things. It's the fact that in school, your parents didn't go to school in the country. So it's not structured the same way that it was for them when they grew up. And so they can't help you as much with school or like, there's only up to a certain grade. My parents were able to help with a lot of my homework. Math, they were always able to help because math is the same universally. So that was fine.
True.
But with everything else, I mean, you know, I had to figure out most of my school paths, like assignments and tests and like applications like that. I had to figure that most of it on my own.
Were your parents strict with school at all? Like, did they put pressure on you to do well in school?
Yeah. My dad especially. I mean, my dad was always like big in school, even himself. Like he did like a 13th grade in Israel, which basically like is another year that you do and it preps you for the army because he was like doing engineering or something like that. And so he like really loved school. And so for me, and my siblings did not have to deal with this. Like literally we are the guinea pigs. We get to deal with like all of the extra stuff that they try out. But my dad would make me separate homework. Like it would be like I was learning long.
Oh really? I wouldn't think that your dad is like that.
Like
that's
really
surprising.
We had long division for like this semester or something. And then he would be like, okay, so I'm making you a long division homework. You do it separately. You leave it for me on the table. When I get home, I will check it.
Oh, really?
And I had to do extra long division homework.
Wow, I would not expect that from Dolan.
I know.
See, so I was a little bit different. So first of all, my parents are, I would say I'm closer to second generation because my parents kind of grew up here, especially my mom grew up in America, but she grew up with very foreign parents. So they both just, school wasn't such a big deal for them. Like they went to community college. So they definitely didn't do the whole community college route. So for me, my parents were just, first of all, I don't even think they could have helped me with math. Like that was definitely not an option. I think the only thing I remember my dad helping us with was art projects.
I mean, your dad is a creative guy, so it makes sense.
Oh yeah, he was amazing at those. Like that's where we would thrive. Like he would be such a perfectionist. Like it was kind of crazy to do projects with him. I think I stopped at one point because he had like everything had to be completely perfect within the lines. I was like in second grade. I was like, okay, this is not necessary.
I loved when my mom took me to Michael's. Like that was like my favorite. Yeah,
that was the best place.
That was the best trip. The smell of Michael's reminds me of like cinnamon pumpkin season.
A fall, yeah.
A fall. But you know, my mom enrolled us in a Michael's summer camp. Did you ever go to that?
I think my sisters went to that.
Really?
Yeah.
It was like the best camp ever. I loved it. We would go and like we would get to pick whatever supplies we wanted from the whole store for the art project
that
day.
I do. That was like the best part of school projects.
Yeah.
But anyway, so my parents didn't put I don't know. I never remember school being that important. So all the motivation I had from school, I don't know where I got it from. I think it was just all like my own doing. I don't know if anybody can relate to that, but that's, I guess, hard as a kid is to be motivated to do well in school because if your parents, not that they completely didn't care, but they were just like doing the best that you can is like good enough type of thing.
Yeah. Well, but
very different from your parents.
Very different. But like once I hit high school, it was like above, it was beyond. They like disassociated from my school at that point.
Oh, okay.
Because like high school was too much.
Yeah, because I feel like that's more American.
It was so American. It was so different. The curriculum was extremely different. Like everything I was learning was just like whatever. A lot of family stuff. My dad was super busy. Like they were not
like you're on your own now.
Yeah, basically I was on my own in high school. They were like, good luck with school. But I loved school. Like
I love school.
I want to get my PhD one day. Like I definitely I want to go back to school one day in the future.
No, I stopped loving school at a certain point. But when I was really young, in like middle school, elementary school especially, I was like top of my class and like the gifted classes. And then I don't know what happened.
You're a smarty pants.
In high school, I was a good student, but I wasn't top of my class. I was like a few B's, A's, but I wasn't a straight A student.
I remember there was a ranking system. I think I was top 5, but I wasn't number 1. I don't remember what I was.
Well, you went to UF, so that's telling.
No, not for UF, for high school.
No, but I'm just saying in general.
Oh.
Like you have to be in the top, I don't know, top percent of your class to get into UF.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Especially now.
Yeah, it's I know I got a lot more difficult to get in now. But yeah, high school was interesting because it was like I had to like figure out what would prepare me best for college, and my parents didn't know anything about college. And they were like really excited for me to go to college. And they like really wanted me to go to like the best college. And they were like, wow, like a daughter is going to college, you know, like it's a big accomplishment for them. Like that they were able to build a family in America and have their kids graduate and go to college. Like it's huge.
Yeah. My parents also were really excited and proud when I got into college. And like even at my graduation, like my dad was in heaven. I remember like walking around the school, like this is the coolest thing ever. And I remember thinking like, this is what everybody does. Like I didn't really think like what a big deal it is for them. And it really is.
I remember we did like a college road trip. My mom took me to like all the universities in Florida because like I was going to stay like in state. And we just went to every single like school and walked around campus and did the tours. And it was awesome. Like, it was so cool. Like,
so cute.
Yeah. It was really cool. But yeah, like overall, I think that one of the hardest parts about being first generation is more of like the cultural complexities or like the expectations, because you basically have this culture that you have at home. you bring different foods to school, you know, like than no, other people.
No, or that is such a niche that I really can relate to. Okay, continue.
You can relate to it, right? Yeah. Okay, it's because like everyone else is eating PB&J sandwiches, and what do my parents give me? Like my dad being Israeli, my mom being Israeli French. My mom gives me a pita with Nutella.
Oh, I had pita with like avocado, and everybody was like, "What is that green stuff?"
Oh, wait, hold on. Did you have pita with hummus and pickles and turkey?
I think that's more first generation. I remember Sigit saying that. That's how his parents sent him.
Oh, yeah. So but, his parents and my parents are the same wavelength. Like he definitely ate the pizza with hummus and turkey pickle sandwich.
Yeah. I don't think I liked hummus back then. But that is so funny. I remember that feeling of being so embarrassed at lunchtime because everybody would comment on my food and everyone's eating like those Lunchables. Like I thought the Lunchables was the coolest thing ever. My mom's like, that's never happening.
I also thought the Lunchables were cool. My mom's like, I'm not buying that boxed food for you.
They would never.
Never. But like those are like small things when you're a child that are like a big deal, you know? Like now we laugh about it. But I remember like sometimes my friends and I would like switch food. We'd be like, okay, like my mom's giving me this. Your mom's giving you that. When we get to school, we switch. Like because you want to eat something else and like taste something different.
I remember
you
doing
know?
That too. My sisters tell the story. I forgot if it was Leia or Sarah, but one of them like had the same lunchbox as somebody else in their class. And they opened their lunchbox and they see like Lunchables and like chips and like fruit roll-ups.
Like, this
and
is not
Leia,
mine.
And Leia's like, this is the best day ever. And then somebody's like, hey. And then somebody opens her lunchbox and they're like, ew, what is this?
Gali, what were you giving them?
Like, literally avocado toast before avocado toast was trendy, okay?
Oh my god, your mom's a trendsetter.
And like probably like some like peas and like carrots, I don't know, like vegetables, like very healthy.
Oh my god.
Oh my god, that really just made me
But
laugh.
It's crazy. I mean, in my class, like I had always like a group of us where like our parents were Israeli and we would like sit together at lunch. So like the five of us would like eat the same things for lunch, but then everyone else would just like eat like different things. So they would know like, oh, that's the Israeli crew. Like they're eating the same lunch.
Oh, at least you had Israelis. I didn't have any in my class.
Well, because we switched. I went to private Jewish school when I was younger and then I went to public school and then you did the opposite. You went to public school and then you went to private school.
I went to private school,
yes. So we have different experiences the older we get.
Yeah, that's so true.
So yeah, crazy.
But yeah, the food was a big one.
So food is a big one, right? So now this is where like the schools come into play because if you're Jewish and there is like school on a Jewish holiday, you're not going to class and then people think that you're missing class or like… It's weird. Like I would miss class all the time randomly during the year in high school because like it was Passover, mm-hmm. it was Sukkot, it was Rosh Hashanah, it was Yom Kippur, whatever it is. I remember going on March of the Living and I had to ask for like 2 weeks off school.
Oh yeah. When you get older, I feel like everybody really looks at you.
They do.
In a petty way.
I'm the only one going to this March of the Living. No one even knows what that is in my high school.
Wow.
I'm asking for 2 weeks off, which is a lot.
But yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Because like you, your whole grade went on March of the Living. And so it was a whole big thing and like I had to explain it and obviously they were very understanding, but like then I had to explain to my friends about what it is and barely any of them really even knew the depth of the Holocaust. Like they just like knew the basics and I had to like explain it. When you get older, you realize how much more different your upbringing is and like you also start like building your own beliefs and you start like figuring out who you are and what you believe in and things like that. So it was very interesting and I think that like bringing in like religion and cultural things and just like things that like is in your community normal, but to other people you might be growing up with or in school with, it's not. That was a challenge, I think.
Interesting. But yeah, especially I think even if you're in a Jewish school or in a public school or whatever it is, I think another challenging thing culturally is the idea that Americans are so used to like paying for SAT tutors and ACT tutors and tutors in general. And my parents are like, I'm paying for private school. And like, now we need tutors? Like, that's just, like, who needs that? And then meanwhile, everybody's, you know, taking these practice tests and at ninth grade. And I'm like,
yeah,
I have so much stress and anxiety about it because like my parents don't really understand it. So it's kind of like, especially us being the oldest child.
Yeah.
We, like, by the time our sisters and your brother got older, it wasn't foreign to them to hear about an SAT tutor. And that's kind of a necessity.
They dealt with it. We're the guinea pigs. They dealt with it.
For us, we had to convince them. Like, imagine explaining to your Israeli parents or foreign parents that you would like to enter something called Greek life and be in a sorority that they have to pay for.
No, okay. So, okay. I have a whole other story about Greek life.
Like, forget about SAT tutors. That was a mission and a half to convince them. And that's like,
crazy.
Okay,
you're still right.
I'm not going to be able to get into college without this. Like AP tutor. Like, I'm just remembering all of these things.
Wait, did you end up having a tutor? Did you get one in the end?
Yeah, I did. But I mean, I was late to the game. I only started that right before SATs, 11th grade.
I got really lucky with SATs because like a lot of kids in our community were going. I remember my friend Andy was going to one or her brother went to it first. So then my parents spoke to her parents about it.
They always have to talk to the other parents.
Talk to the other parents. So because our close family friends are doing it, then it's validation and like they know it's okay. And like it kind of made it a lot easier for me. Like they were like, oh, like if they're all doing it, like you also have to do it. And like, so for me, the SAT one was a lot easier because other people were doing it. Yeah. And they saw that it was normal and that like we actually needed it to get into a good school.
Yeah, eventually they get it, but
it's not natural.
It's something that you kind of need to fight for. And imagine you grow up with that and you're the pressure of your parents, you know, and getting into a good school. You don't even want an SAT tutor. But for us, it was like the dream.
Yeah. It was. It's just the whole point is that it doesn't come naturally to them. It's not like for them, it's like they know, okay, my kid's in high school, it's time to start SAT prep. Like that's not what goes on through their heads. And like, that's all. But they definitely adapt. I mean,
yes.
And clearly we got what we needed. But oh my God, college, I like...
Yeah, Greek life is a little different.
I can't even like... When I had to explain to my parents what a sorority was for the first time, and then like on top of that, explain to them what they were paying for, it took me forever. Like it literally, like they did not understand it. But luckily, my parents always trusted me. I've always been like a responsible older sister. Like I've always been like the third parent. So for me, they like really trusted when I told them like, okay, like I really need to do this. And like I said, like I really need to do this. Like this is like part of your entire social experience in college. Like these are people that I'm going to be friends with like throughout the entire 4 years. Like this is where I will live eventually and I'll eat there every day. And like it comes with food. And I had to show them like practically like food, friends, events, you know?
Yeah. Once my parents were able to visit and see the actual sorority and like see what it is, it made a lot more sense. But imagine in the beginning, it was like, all they knew about it was from movies, which was not a good look.
Yeah. Like American Pie, like that. Like, no, not like American Pie. Although every time I explain to Israeli sororities, they always ask me, was it like American Pie?
Well, it was kind of like that. RIP Greek life at Maryland. I heard that it's no longer alive.
Really? Mm-hmm. Like completely gone?
That's what I heard, but I don't know. We should probably just fact check it.
Well, I went to UF to visit my sorority house a few months ago and it was nostalgic. It was definitely cool.
But like, did your parents even care when you became president? Like, did they understand that that was a big deal?
No. Like literally, I had a family weekend that we hosted and like all the girls' parents came into town to visit their kids and come to the house. So we organized like a parents' brunch that I had to organize and speak at, obviously. To this day, my dad cannot say the name of the sorority I was in. Nevertheless, president. Like, forget about it. Like, he just couldn't. Like, he's like, oh, my daughter is the president of a sorority. And that's good enough. And I'm like,
I have to ask him. I wonder how
please,
he remembers.
Next time
it.
You see my dad, ask him, what was the name of Sheer Sorority? And he's going to crack up. He's going to start laughing. He won't even know what to answer.
But that just shows you that a lot of our motivation really was, it wasn't to prove anything to our parents really, which is kind of healthy. It was like, because we genuinely wanted to do it.
And that is a positive
part
of being first generation because we didn't have like these like expectations, like you have to go to this college because I went there and you have to be in this sorority because I was in it. Or
you have to be studied and be a doctor or a lawyer or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, although some immigrant kids do have really high expectations, like from their parents education-wise.
Career-wise,
like some cultures, like I'm not going to stereotype, but I do have friends that like from international places, like in college, that their parents like were very like adamant that their kid would be a doctor or an accountant or whatever it may be.
But usually those parents were pretty educated and come from some kind of background, even though it was internationally, not in America.
Right. So we were lucky in the sense where we were able to really build our own path. We were able to like figure out what we wanted to do, explore, be free to like test things out. And like, I think that was a positive thing that we experienced.
Yeah. And we had our parents' support, which was very healthy.
Yes. Very healthy.
So shout out to them.
Thank you so much, parents. But also like, it's crazy because like out of all my parents' friends, like the close friends that we had growing up, I was always like the oldest out of all the kids.
Same, by a lot.
By a lot.
I always sat with the parents at like the tables at dinners and stuff.
Yeah. Like, and so like, it wasn't even like I could ask them, like their kids ended up asking me for help when I was in college already, like years in, you know?
I can definitely relate to that. And I don't know many people that can. Like even my cousins are all younger than me by a lot, by like at least 4 years.
I have cousins who are my age and older, but they're in Israel. And so like we didn't go through the same experiences, but like in my synagogue, I had people that were my age, but like growing up, like I didn't. And so like, there was really no one to ask. Like we had to really rely on our friends. If you think about it, like it's not like we can ask an older sister or parents or family friends, older siblings. It was very much like people in school and like benchmarking yourself against the people that you are around.
Yeah. And I didn't even really have friends until later on.
I really put you in a corner there.
Until I was like, no, in middle school, I had one or two friends in middle school. And then in high school, I started to have more friends. But then the competition kicks in. And that was brand new for me because I was competing against myself most of the time. I wasn't competing against my sisters in any sense because they were much younger than me. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, I want to be on the soccer team. I want to be in this AP class and I want to take this class and I want to get this score on my SAT or ACT. And then you see like everybody else around you. And like my friends at the time were yards ahead of me because they've been prepping for this stuff their whole lives.
But that's why like a support system and a support network for first generation Americans is super important because you're able to learn from advisors, from mentors, from family, from friends, from peers, from academic resources, professors that I used to go to their office hours just to get their advice on certain things because like I had no one else to ask. Like really relying on your network.
Rabbis.
Rabbanites.
I always had rabbis in my school that were helpful with that stuff.
You have to rely on that network and on the people that you surround yourself with. Like your network is important. Like it really, what is that saying? Like you are
Who you surround yourself with?
Yeah. Like the five people that you surround yourself with or something like that. You're an average of them, whatever. I think that that's like super important, especially because like you're really on this like journey of self-discovery and identity and like who are you? And like you have to figure out like where do I belong? And like how am I going to like be the version of myself I want to be that still preserves my culture and my identity, but also where I grew up, which is the U.S.
Yeah. And it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. Like when you're young, if anything that makes you different makes you feel left out, insecure, it's a negative thing. But then as you get older and you just hold on to those things while also being motivated by healthy competition, if you just can figure out the balance of both, then that's what makes you you. And that's like your superpower. So
100%.
Don't be embarrassed of those things. It makes you who you are.
And you know what? I really like appreciate the time that we had in Israel because we were immigrants to Israel and we were experiencing what our parents experienced when they came to America and had to learn become better in a new language. We had to put ourselves in a different cultural environment work-wise. We literally had to deal with it. And I'm happy because you know what? Like, yes, it was very hard dealing with the bank and dealing with healthcare and dealing with work and all of that stuff. But like our parents had to deal with it and also not learning the language. And
yeah, it makes you appreciate what they went through.
Yeah.
100%.
It makes you appreciate what your parents went through. And I always recommend everyone go abroad. Like, studying abroad. Going abroad humbles you. It shows you that there is other things out there. There are different people out there, different beliefs. Like I always recommend studying abroad, working abroad, going abroad for an extended period of time. Like it really just like shapes you. It doesn't matter if you're first generation or not.
Yeah. It teaches you new skills.
It does.
And yeah, I remember you always saying, all my like American friends who haven't like left America, they think America is the center of the world. Like, no, there's other life happening out here. And
but that's like ethnocentric beliefs. And I think that like it really is a phenomenon that occurs in the US because of how big the US is and how much a lot of cultural phenomenons are surrounding the US, like most popular movies, TV shows, artists, singers, whatever it may be. Like a lot of them, not all of them, obviously, but
what's popular everywhere.
Yeah. The US has a huge influence on Western society. And so, yeah, that's kind of why I always say that. I'm not generalizing, guys, but it's just what I see, okay? but like, I think that like the whole cultural aspect of being first generation, I think that like along with like the sibling dynamics of being the oldest child that comes with that really makes us mature a lot faster. So like not only did we have to mature quicker by being first generation and having to learn things and teach yourself things, but you then also had to be this kind of like third parent type role to your younger siblings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can say that again.
I think navigating that, and I think like you're constantly navigating that, because at what point do you then like emerge from that third parent figure and then friends, right? Like at what age? Like it's like a whole, I think, journey that we have had to and still have to go through.
Yeah. I mean, I work with my sisters now, so I still kind of have that relationship with them where, yeah, I do feel like the third parent sometimes, or like it's kind of hard to, not that I'm their boss, but in some ways lead them, you know, on how to work in like a certain environment, because like maybe they don't have the same experiences that I did, and they didn't have to like, I guess it comes from a young age of kind of having to figure it out on your own, because it's not like I have this crazy amount of work experience, but I do have this mentality of figuring it out wherever I am. So yeah, it's challenging to navigate that.
It is. Yeah. And like, at what point do you decide, okay, like what are the expectations for me as a daughter? What are my career aspirations? And then what are my family responsibilities? And then balancing all of that, especially when you have a big hand in like the dynamics of your family, because you kind of play this middleman between the younger siblings and your parents.
Yeah, it's really hard. I think now that we're older, it's a lot more different. But what I try to teach them is the most important thing in working together as a family is to have respect for each other and respect for all of our strengths. Because as soon as you lose that respect, then it's just like, oh, it's so annoying that this happened. And like, how could she do it that way? But like, if you respect their lane, then you say, okay, she knows better when it comes to this stuff. And that makes you like pull back, because we can always say, oh, I could do this better, I could do that better. But then you're stretching yourself too thin, and then you're good at nothing.
Well, so especially for you, because you're working with them. So that's super important.
Yeah. So that's been like a journey, but I think I really feel confident in where we are now. Like we all kind of have our roles and our lanes secured. They are getting older now. I mean, one of my sisters is a full-on mom.
A full-on mom.
my youngest sister didn't go to college. She's like always been more of like the hustler and, you know, worker. Like that's where she thrives, in like her passions and her talents. And she was never like, she doesn't like being in a classroom listening to a teacher type of thing. So I kind of respect her in that she always knew her strengths and like knew what she wanted from a young age, where I didn't necessarily. So yeah, it's just about
knowing everyone's powers.
Yeah, superpowers and having respect. And the way that we speak to each other and work together. That's been key. Shout out to my sisters.
We should invite them on so you guys can talk about that further and like your different perspectives on it. It would be interesting.
Yeah, 100%.
Because it's true. Like at the end of the day, like the oldest daughter or the oldest child like assumes like some sort of leadership role. But then like when do you kind of like step down from that like leadership mentorship role and like let the younger sibling take the lead on a certain topic, right? Like once they're old enough and have that experience and they're better at that.
Yeah. And I don't know if you can relate to this. It's not even you who thinks that they're not ready for it. It's like getting them to see that they're ready for it on their own. That's the challenge. It's not like I want to continue being this parent role or this leader role for you. It's like, how do I get you to see that you're a leader in your own right? And you can be the one to tell this team what to do. Like, you don't have to tell me to tell them. This is, you got this. But that dynamic has always been there. So like, why would it be different at work? You know what I mean?
I don't have that experience because I don't work with my siblings. Yeah. But like, I can definitely see it.
Well, not in a working way. But like, let's say if your siblings come to you for advice in their own jobs type of thing.
It's
like,
yeah.
They probably ask you like exactly what to do type of thing.
Yeah, like how to respond to an email or what to say.
That meme is so funny.
What to say during an interview.
what's that one meme? It's like, do I put my social security number where it says social security number?
The number, like the type of questions that we get sometimes.
But how would you say like that has manifested with your siblings since, like you said, you don't work with them? So
it's a lot different because like the three of us do such different things and we're like also like such different people. Also, like I feel like you and your siblings are very, like you guys are very similar, but we're very different. My sister like works in like the healthcare space and I don't know anything about healthcare. I'm not like a science girl at all. So like whenever it comes to anything medical, I'm like, all you girl, like I ask her questions. I'm like, please tell me, like, am I dying? Like,
hey, that's kind of good though. That's healthy.
Yeah. So it's like healthy because like she's like the queen of all things healthcare and beauty because I'm not a beauty gal.
Oh, yeah.
She's a makeup queen, that girl. Like she tells me what like products to buy, like what clean beauty things to like wash my face with. I don't know. Like she got me on this brand Pharmacy. Do you use it?
I've heard of it, but no, I don't use it.
Oh my God. Pharmacy is my favorite. I mean, they're like oil-based makeup cleanser. Like it's like you like have to like scoop it. I've been using it for a year and it's the only thing that's ever taken off all my makeup. You
well,
scoop
let the people
it.
Know.
Guys, oh my God, I'll bring it next time. You have to like literally scoop it and like you rub your hands and like the oil becomes oily and you just like rub your face with no water. You just rub your entire face and then you put water and all your makeup rubs off. The oil just takes everything off.
Yeah. I heard that it's important to use an oil-based makeup remover.
See, I don't even know that. She just told me to buy it and and it works. So when it comes to all that, she's like great at it. So like we definitely like have our like roles and like our expertise, you know, like for me, like I'm the go-to person for like anything work-wise or business-wise or like life, whatever. And my brother, like he has been working like hospitality for like the past few years. And like, so he like loves like all like the bars and the nightlifes and like
restaurants.
And restaurants. Like he was managing restaurants and he's really good at that. But recently he just switched into the tech scene. So I helped him a lot with his interviews and job and like his like CV and helping him with the resume. And now he's working in tech and now he's in our world. And so it's cool to like hear like him going through like what we go through all the time. And like,
oh, wow, I didn't even know that.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. I'll keep you guys updated.
Awesome. Cool. Okay. So what should we leave people with today?
Honestly, guys, like to wrap this up, I mean, if you are a first generation, even if you're not first generation, if like you feel like you don't get or you don't know enough just from growing up or from home about like what it is you should be doing in your career or in like school-wise or in life, like just surround yourself with like a good support system. Find yourself a mentor. Find yourself advisors. Find yourself friends who can help or even your friends' parents, you know, like who have been there if your parents haven't experienced what you're trying to go into. I think a support system is strong, is important.
Yeah. I would say coming back to just embracing who you are, like no matter, even if you're not first generation, like everybody comes from different backgrounds, different upbringings, different dynamics at home. And it can be really challenging when you're young, like not even when you're very young, going through the early stages of your career and everything, it can make you feel like you don't belong. But just get that out of your head and embrace who you are because there's only one of you. Not to sound like very cliche.
And I heard this quote
today.
I think it's so true too. Like I honestly, like I heard this quote today. Like if your life was written in a book, would you want to read that book and would you be proud of that book? And like basically saying like write your own story. do what makes you happy, what you're passionate about, what like in 10 years from now, if you like hear about it, listen to it, read it, whatever it is, like you would be so proud of yourself and like felt like you lived life to the fullest and like you did everything you can to like achieve your personal goals. And that's
yeah. Everything that's makes it. You interesting.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be bored out here. We would be bored as hell if we were all the same.
Literally, we would be. So embrace your differences, guys. And with that, we hope to see you next week for some more spicy content.
See you guys next time.